top headlines.
All right, the Celtics fall to the Cavs yesterday, 121-99. Seas are back at it on Wednesday when they take on the Clippers. Speaking of the Celtics, talking with Chris Mannix today, Brad Stevens talked about the possibility of Gordon Hayward coming back. Stevens saying, "My mindset is he's not coming back. That's the way we've approached it. Gordon and I have never had a conversation about him coming back." Bruins, meanwhile, picked up a 5-3 win over the Devils last night. Adam McQuaid, the game winner for Boston.
All good, obviously. Not really sure how it went in, but it found a way, and it was good to get that win tonight after, you know, what we felt like wasn't our best effort last night.
Bruins are off tonight. They'll take on the Flames tomorrow. The Colts have their new coach. He even signed the contract in the Indianapolis, going with Frank Reich. He signed a 5-year deal. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster has reportedly been arrested in a domestic violence case. And in college basketball, the URI Rams are up to number 16 in the top 25 polls. It's the highest ranking in school history. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, with over 50 trucks on the road because your clogged drain is their emergency. Go to johnsewer.com. I'm Tim McCone in Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Have a Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, "Hey Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub."
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's home for sports. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You got time for a tweet here, Beetle?
Yeah, we could do that.
Just real quick. From Josh. "Is Jim Louth well? He hates everything and wants to invite chaos into Patriots training camp. Sounds like a ticking time bomb." This is Jim post-Super Bowl loss.
Now he's also talking about those moments when you're by yourself and you just want to drink. Like, I wonder if he's drinking.
No, it's food for me. It's eating for me.
You're an agent.
When I'm on a food kick, when I'm dieting, I have to stay busy. I get so much done around the house, it's nuts. The nights we have like a lot of notes for the next day.
Yeah, it's because you're trying not to eat.
Yeah, I'm not eating.
You're an agent of chaos right
Chewing
now.
Chewing on ice.
You just want to watch the world burn.
No, the Patriots need a quarterback. They need a quarterback of the future.
Okay, they don't need Johnny Manziel.
They need somebody.
That's what the draft is for.
They need to get the next guy. What if they don't get the guy they want in the draft?
Well,
they have to look at all options. They have to keep every option open.
Well, they have to keep
That's my only point.
They have to keep the good options open.
And
Johnny,
you know what? I may not like him, and you may not like him.
I don't like
Belichick
him.
May like
Never
him.
Liked
McDaniels
him.
May like him. McDaniels like Tebow, for all we know. So
yeah,
I mean,
get that either. And that didn't work out.
I'm just saying, we got to keep an open mind.
Who's got a better shot, Kaepernick or Manziel, of having an NFL comeback? Just based on talent, not based on all the other factors.
Well, it's got to be Kaepernick. He's done it before.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you wanted to take one of these guys that are out on the street, and you're basing your decision. Now, this isn't real world. This isn't how the real world operates. But if you're basing it on talent, you are taking Colin Kaepernick over Manziel.
Yep. Yes.
I don't think that's a stretch.
But I don't think you want to invite that type, or let me rephrase that. I don't think the Patriots want to invite that kind of conversation and scrutiny down there if they don't have to. The fact is, they don't have to with either one. I would be willing to bet the Patriots believe that they can find the guy to come in and be the next backup and the heir apparent in this year's draft. Or they know where he is out there and they can make a move here or there to get him. I don't think they need to go the Colin Kaepernick or Johnny Manziel route.
I hope
no.
so. But they're
Well, can they try that first?
They're going to get the fifth best quarterback, or by all accounts, by the insiders. They're going to get the fifth quarterback taken, probably, at the very highest.
Like, Jim, isn't there always somebody available that's at the level of Kaepernick or Manziel? Like, if it doesn't work out in the draft, isn't there always one of those guys they could try and rehab later?
Look at the Eagles did.
There's always
they
those guys on
They drafted Wentz,
the
but they also signed Chase Daniel, and they kept Sam Bradford on the roster. They let it play out. They had a journeyman, they had a young kid, and they had a backup. I just don't think the Patriots can go into it with Brady, Hoyer, and
okay, they also didn't. They also didn't have a quarterback at the start of all that.
Well, they had Bradford.
The Patriots, yeah, I mean, that's Sam Bradford. As much as I liked him once upon a time, that's not your franchise quarterback. You know that at that point.
Now, Kaepernick's 31, so he may be getting too old to...
He's 31 already.
31. He was going to play this season as a 31-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, that's 66 years older than Johnny Manziel, who's now 25.
Yeah, he's going to turn 26 late in the season. So, yeah, he's about 5.5 years older, yeah.
Meanwhile, Burt Breer had this on the former quarterback of the future for the Patriots, Jimmy Garoppolo, asking Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco if there was a holy bleep moment when the call came in from the Patriots on October 30th inquiring if the Niners would be interested in trading for Garoppolo. There really was, he answered. We were 0-8. We had just gotten our asses kicked by Philly. I came in on a Monday, and that was the last thing I was thinking about, and that ended up popping up. It's different because it's a big deal. We wanted those draft picks. We know we have a ways to go. We want to build this organization the right way. And what worried me was having to decide long-term on a guy in just a few games. Shanahan went to Lynch, and Lynch assured Shanahan that the franchise tag would give the Niners flexibility to push the decision for a year. It took a grand total of 10 minutes for the two to decide to accept New England's proposal and send their second-round pick to Foxborough for Jimmy Garoppolo. Does that not give you some insight about how easy of a decision that was for the 49ers when the request was a second-round pick? This deal got wrapped up in 10 minutes? Well, that was fast.
Yeah. I thought about that, too. When and again, the way it lays out now, and when I read that over the weekend, and said, yeah, it took 10 minutes to decide this is what we're going to do, and trade that second-round pick. Now it looks so obvious. Hell yes. Why did it even take 10 minutes? But we know what Garoppolo did when he went in there. And that's not to say I'm convinced yet, Beetle. You know, show me over the course of a full season. Show me with a team that thinks they can win now and other teams know that they have to beat and all that other stuff. Real football team that's truly competitive and is going to stand in the way of somebody else. Not the games we saw Garoppolo play so far. And it's not that he hasn't been impressive. I just need to see more. But based on what they saw and what we all saw, yes, second-round pick for Garoppolo right now? Yes, of course. Why did it take 10 minutes? Should have said yes before he even hung up the phone. I mean, isn't that the case now? We're all sitting around wondering, oh my God, they only got a second-round pick for him? The guy that they just signed to that contract? Good grief.
Yes. That's probably what he was doing. He's probably like jumping up and down and be like, the guys in the back, don't act too excited. Hang up the phone and call him back.
Right, right.
If we say yes too soon, they'll say no.
Right, wait a few minutes.
Why would anybody give their word on something and then change their mind? How dare you, Jim? McCone liked that one.
Don't you think it's interesting that Belichick called Shanahan, though?
No.
Belichick didn't call Lynch. Belichick called Shanahan.
Because Shanahan is his guy.
Casario didn't call Lynch. Casario didn't call anybody. It's Belichick calling Shanahan. That's interesting to me.
I mean, he's there because of Shanahan. He's not there because of Lynch. Now, Belichick knows Lynch and obviously respects Lynch and signed him at the end of his career here. But that was about the Shanahans. And the Shanahans respecting Bill. You know, you got to be in the circle of trust to be able to do a trade like that with Bill. Where you're going to get a good asset? No, he'll only do those deals with his friends. It's got to be with one of his friends.
But that's nothing new either. I mean, that's been going on for a while. Some of the trades that happen and some of the things that go down.
No, but if you want to pretend that's in the best interest of the team, go ahead. But you're just pretending.
Hey, they had to do something.
Yeah, with a friend.
They had to do something, Beto. What are they going to do?
Make sure it's with a friend.
Keep them until now and get nothing?
Like a friends list. Like, who's my friend?
We're not going to franchise them. Got to get something. Who's in the market? Well, this guy might be. That's a pretty good offer. Let's do it.
Could have called Cleveland. They're not friends, though.
Well, they're not friendly.
Not friends. Not FOB. Not a friend of Bill.
That's They're friendly, but they're not friends. How's
right.
That? How's
right.
That? That's
give
that's,
me Jamie Collins. You want Jamie Collins? We'll trade you Jamie Collins.
That's the distinction. They're friendly, but they're not friends.
You want Collins? Absolutely. Let's do a deal.
Yes. Make a friendly deal with you.
But my treasure, my little backup quarterback, my guy who's going to supplant Brady?
I'm not
giving him to anybody.
That's not a friendly deal.
He only goes to a friend.
That's a friend deal. Not a friendly deal. friend deal.
That's got to be someone good.
Two different things.
Someone that you're tight with.
Right.
Someone that kisses your rings. Someone that looks up to you. Someone who loses to you in the Super Bowl and then calls you and says, tell me how it happened. Take me through it.
Come on.
Which is exactly what Kyle Shanahan did.
I like to believe on some level.
Run me through it, coach. Show me how stupid I was.
I like to believe on some level, as foolish and naive and stupid as this might be, that Belichick was also doing Garoppolo a solid.
Yeah, because he's friends. Friends with Garoppolo.
So friends all around.
Little Jimmy. Oh, my little Jimmy.
But it's not just a friends with Shanahan thing. It goes beyond that.
You're friends with Jimmy and Shanahan.
Okay. Well, so what's wrong with that?
It's all about friends.
Other than you got way less than you should have for that player. You
can't just help your friends.
Other than only...
This is business.
Other than only...
This is work. Work is not fun. Work is not friends.
Other than only getting the second round pick. What's wrong with that?
What, do you want to be the Eagles? Huh? Fun Super Bowls?
Hey,
is that what you want?
They won and they had fun.
You want to have one fun one or five boring ones?
I wasn't bored.
Normally, I'd tell you the CBS Sports Minute is right here, but today,
whoa,
RIP CBS Sports Minute. No more CBS Sports Minutes on this show. So enjoy that. That's a gift. It's a gift. 617-779-0985. Would you take Johnny Manziel on the Patriots? Would you accept Johnny Manziel coming into camp this summer for the Pats?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
I'd like to thank Mike and Woburn, formerly Mike and Attleboro, for his kind commentary, saying that last week I threw dirt on Carlton, this week I put the CBS Sports Minute in the ground, and that I am the sports radio undertaker. I can't take credit for the CBS Sports Minute death. Nope. Can't do it. Won't do it. All credit to program director Mike Thomas. He found a way to kill that thing. He killed it. It's good and dead, my friends. Except for TNR. They still have it. Middays, afternoons, well, nights, no more of that.
Getting a glimpse into who his favorites are around
yep.
here.
Yep. Although, as I've said repeatedly, the morning and afternoon ones were not that bad. Boomer? I don't have an issue with Boomer most of the time. And Rome? I don't mind Rome. I'll listen to Rome for a minute. It was Feinstein. Killing us. Suffocating. I mean, really, just literally taking the life out of us all. Killing us with his takes.
You know, I saw... Do you remember Damon Amendolara? He used to do nights here on the Sports Hub.
The mothership has connected.
I saw him, saw him at the mall a couple of weeks ago. We were both at the mall. Do you remember being at the mall?
Yeah, I don't think he has any love for any of us.
Oh, I talked to him a couple of times.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah, he was fine.
But I just said hello to him.
I told him earnestly because, you know, I don't go out of my way to lie for no good reason. I told him I thought his CBS Sports Minutes were good ones. I thought he and BT did good CBS
BT,
Sports Minutes.
BT, good stuff. BT usually had good takes.
They were good. And he kind of laughed as though it gave me the impression that he didn't care for doing them. But, you know, appreciated it, and we went on our way. I went off to work, and he went to Panda Express. Saw him on one of the roller coaster rides that same week. That's good DA, good DA sightings.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, that's right. I sent him to him. I don't do stuff behind people's backs. I said, I took a really funny picture of you on one of those rides. He goes, oh, I want to see it. I showed it to him, and he goes, oh, you got to send those to me. So I did. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. It was a little weird.
It's very weird.
It's definitely a little weird.
I'm not sharing it publicly.
This story has been posted by Mike Florio. Actually, check that. Michael David Smith, who, by the way, if you follow him on Twitter, do you follow him on Twitter, Jim? He's the other writer
at
BFT. Well, Michael David Smith has been one of the strongest voices against Ron Borges since everything went down last week. You should check his timeline. It is filled with Borges hate. He does not like Ron Borges. But he writes, the NFL appeared to change its standard for overturning calls in instant replay in 2017-18 with the head of officiating, Al Riverone, seeming to stray away from the indisputable standard in the regular season only to return to it in the postseason. One of Riverone's predecessors believes the commissioner was behind that. Former NFL head of officiating, Mike Pereira, said on the Talk of Fame podcast that from his conversations with people around the league, he thinks there were teams complaining to the NFL and to Commissioner Roger Goodell about Riverone being too quick to overturn plays on instant replay, and Riverone adjusted accordingly.
Oh, God.
He says, I talked to enough coaches and enough members of the competition committee that they weren't happy, and so I think the word trickled to Goodell, and Goodell probably sat down with Alberto, who he has a great amount of respect for, and just said, hey, you've got to realize you need to make an adjustment. You're being too technical.
Wait a minute. What does that even mean?
It means he's following the rules to the letter of the law. You're following the rules too closely. You're interpreting the laws and rules of the game too literally.
Anybody who was against instant replay, by the way, has been proven right, essentially. That it was going to become monotonous, and they would get some things right, but it was going to be tedious.
What happened to football?
Slow
though?
The game down.
No, but what happened to football? Because the first like 10+ years of instant replay in the NFL were fine. We didn't have any of these issues. What the hell happened? He says the Eagles may have benefited from that change in approach. Corey Clement's touchdown catch was a very close call, on which he may not have had full possession. He clearly did not have full possession with the ball with both feet down. But Riverone decided to stay with the call on the field. During the regular season, that might not have been a touchdown. It shouldn't have been a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Now, we're not spending a lot of time bellyaching about that because I don't think many of us have very much faith in the Patriots defense to have gotten a stop on that drive anyway.
I thought it was a touchdown.
It was not a touchdown.
I thought it was a touchdown.
It's definitely not a
touchdown. We have some audio Steratore mic'd up from inside the NFL.
Can you play that? I have heard this.
Oh, I've heard it too. Boy, I love this.
Okay.
It's good quality. Now, Jimmy.
So now the ball can move and you still have technical control of it, according to the guy who was refereeing the Super Bowl. Oh, just because the ball was moving doesn't mean it wasn't in any of his hands. At one point, the ball was completely in the air.
So what?
That wasn't a touchdown all season.
That was not a touchdown ever. At any point under review.
Now, I think
and now because we're...
No,
don't be so technical. It's it's close enough. Give him a touchdown.
He caught it, took a couple of steps. He didn't bobble it till he had already crossed the plane. Crossed the plane, then he bobbled him, then
he
regained
possession.
No,
you're talking about Ertz. This is the Clement one. The back of the end zone. The possession went from one arm to the other, but the foot didn't
Ertz
go down.
Ertz was a touchdown. Yeah. I have no issue with the Ertz touchdown.
That wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah, foot out of bounds.
But... You're right. According to the letter of the replay rule and all season long, you're right. That's not a touchdown. I don't know why it was a touchdown. Do you think it was a touchdown watching it in real time, the way it played out?
No, I didn't think it was a touchdown right away in our booth. I was pissed.
Oh, I thought it was.
Soucy and I don't know that I've ever heard Soucy be as upset about a review as he was in the broadcast of the Super Bowl.
And that was...
He was stunned. He could not believe that they held that thing up.
And that was the end zone close to where you guys were.
No,
correct?
It was at the opposite end. We were looking the opposite
way. No, real time, I thought it was a touchdown. The first replay, you could tell he bobbled the ball.
Yes.
Or he at least repositioned it in his arms.
Okay. All right. I was thinking of the wrong one. Yes. That one I agree.
But now we know why. Now we know why they kept it. We got to be less technical.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, give it to him close enough.
Because he got yelled at for being too technical with his video reviews.
And the point is, if you have review, the point of review is to be technical.
Right.
Like, you know what? Have a review, but just sort of eyeball it.
I don't...
Like the way the guys on the field do, because it's... And listen, it's a hard job. When you're on the field and you're watching things full speed,
yep,
and you've got 22 guys that are going full speed, and they're huge, and they're, you know, there's car crashes happening in front of you left and right, it's hard to keep up. It is. So when you have a review, that gives you the capability to see slowly and in, you know, technical aspects what happened. You're supposed to use it to your advantage. Now it's just kind of the point where it's like, nah, just take a quick look. If it looks good, just say okay and move on. What are we doing it for then? Then don't do it. That would be my take. If that's what you want, if you want the non-technical aspect of officiating a game, then don't do replay. You've already got that. You've got the non-technical look on the field. If you want them, just eyeball it.
But if we went through a whole season, Beetle, of them not overturning stuff on minor technicalities, would that be better than what we had, say, for this past year? When they would overturn stuff on minor... you can see the ball jostle a little bit there. So if you did it consistently the whole season, the way they called that one, the way they didn't overturn on that particular call, would it be better or worse?
I've told you what the fix is for this. Less replays. You don't have to you don't have to always replay every score. In order for something to be replayed, you've got to have the opposing coach be willing to throw the flag and lose a timeout if he's not right. That was the way it used to be. And that's when we didn't have these problems with replay. You know why there's so many more technical aspects? Because they're looking at plays that are iffy that a coach wouldn't challenge.
Fine.
That a coach is going to say, you know what? Let it stand. This is not worth the challenge.
But in the Super Bowl, you might challenge that if you're Bill Belichick.
You might.
So, if you're going to call it that way all season long, would you be okay with that? Would it be better than what we have now? If all scoring plays are not automatically reviewed and Belichick were to
throw the red flag on that one, touchdown.
I'm going to challenge that.
That should not be a touchdown.
But all season long, do you want that to not be a touchdown?
Yes. That one, you can clearly see that it's not a touchdown. Clearly.
I'd feel better about them keeping that as a touchdown. In super slow.
You and Goodell agree.
Super.
You and Goodell, same guy.
But I didn't yell at the ref about it before the game.
You would sit down Al Riverone and say, Al, be less good at your job. Just do the old eyeball test. Don't be looking at things and don't be getting technical. Don't actually see if the foot was out of bounds or if the ball was actually out of his hands.
But I can't complain about
it
that because
like
that's
a touchdown. Call it a touchdown. Why are we even doing this?
I want to know what the conversation is.
Why are we reviewing
is,
plays?
Is he saying, hey, listen, err on the side of points? Or is he saying err on the side of decisions?
I think he's saying err on the side of the call on the field.
Yeah. Stick with the call on the field.
Stick with the call on the field. Err on that side. And I can't complain about this too much, Beetle, because ever since they started reviewing these things and going to the super slow-mo high def, I'm saying that's not how things happen. If you look at every play, you're going to find something that looks like it's not quite right if you look at it frame by frame, super slow-mo. Not just on the reviewed calls. It's going to happen all the time. So that's not a good indicator.
Let's get to the headlines with Tim McCone.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, the Celtics fall into the Cavs yesterday, 121-99. Seas are off tonight. They'll be back at it Wednesday when they take on the Clippers. Speaking of the Celtics, Chris Mannix talking with Brad Stevens today, asked about the possibility of Gordon Hayward coming back. Stevens saying, my mindset is that he is not coming back. That's the way we've approached it. Gordon and I have never had a conversation about him coming back. Bruins, meanwhile, picked up a 5-3 win over the Devils last night. Bees are off tonight. They'll be back at it when they take on the Flames tomorrow. Colts have a new head coach. Indianapolis going with Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich. He has signed a 5-year deal. Adam Schefter reporting that former Colts corner Vontae Davis has been cleared from his core injury surgery and that teams are expected to have interest in the former Pro Bowler in free agency. Former NFL quarterback Johnny Manziel said he's been diagnosed as bipolar and he's taking medication for it in hopes to get back on the football field. And San Francisco 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster has reportedly been arrested in a domestic violence case. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did and start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser. Call 866-77-LASER. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update in 30 minutes.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand with Hardy filling in for Zoe again.
Is he going to be sick again tomorrow, you think?
He should probably stay home.
I'm thinking he should stay home one more day. He did not sound well.
It's kind of part of the show today. He keeps texting.
Yeah.
He said that was an incomplete pass to Clement.
I love having
him. He said Ertz was the touchdown.
Call in, even though I didn't know it was him. I love having his text. We love Zoe, but I don't want him to push it. How many stories have you heard about this flu? About people who get it and they think they're okay? And Lee and Quincy tweeted that she had for a few days and thought she would do something crazy like try and unload the dishwasher and had to sit down halfway through. By the way, Beetle.
Yeah.
Dishwasher emptying. Which rack do you do first?
Top.
Dumb move.
Why?
Because when you pull the top rack out, any of the water that's collected in the cups and whatnot spills down onto the lower rack. Empty the lower rack first. That way, so it's empty, and then when you pull the top rack out, if any of the water that's sloshed around collected in the little collection areas of the upside-down coffee mug or whatever, it doesn't spill down onto your already dry dishes and silverware underneath.
Okay.
Use your head!
All right.
Idiot!
I saw that Hardy's being sympathetic to Zoe's flu, but he wanted Beetle back to work the next day after the rollover.
Yeah.
I wanted Beetle back to work that night. I thought it was a bunch of BS that he was home from the hospital at 8 o'clock, and I had to go down there and essentially solo host the postgame show. Had Jones back here, which was fine. He was phenomenal, but it would have been better had you been able to, I don't know, go to work instead of go home. I mean, in hindsight, you have to agree with me.
No. No, I don't.
The guy gets cut out of one car, and all of a sudden he's... Johnny can't come to work. Okay.
But Hardy's going to go hand deliver some soup to Zoe today this afternoon down in Rentham.
I admit, there's an imbalance.
Edgar is in North Attleboro. Edgar.
Hey, Beagle, how are you?
What's up?
Real quick, I have 2 points on Kaepernick and Manziel. I think Kaepernick would be the hardest quarterback to find a team. His philosophy is more of a political one, per se. And Johnny is a chemical one, which people, I think, can relate to a little bit more, that they can, if they can get the right treatment. And I know bipolar, boy, that, my father-in-law was bipolar, and that's a hell disease, too, you know. But I think if those two could either, I know the XFL is coming up in a couple of years, I would definitely, buy tickets if to see them play and they can prove themselves again. I just wonder your thoughts on that.
I don't think
the XFL is around until like 2020. I think we have to wait a few more years for that.
It is interesting, though, I'll grant you that, to think about guys who would make for watchable XFL games. I don't know if Johnny Manziel's among them. I don't know if he's gonna be interested in playing, whether or not the bipolar is gonna affect it one way or the other. And yeah, the guy's got, put it this way, he's got multiple things to deal with. So wish him the best. But in terms of like being an XFL as an avenue, I don't know.
No, but in terms of upsetting anybody in your fan base, Kaepernick has the ability to do that. Right or wrong, there are people who will be upset if Colin Kaepernick ends up on their team. Whereas with Johnny Manziel, I don't think the same thing exists. He's less of a risk on that front. Edgar's right about that. In terms of what people are sympathetic to, they're far more sympathetic to someone who's got, he's dealt with mental problems and has dealt with abuse problems and is, in recovery and all that stuff. You're far more sympathetic to that.
That he doesn't have a choice in any of these things.
Right.
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 Right. Although some would argue, well, he just choose not to drink and there you go, that's fixed. Okay. I would argue an oversimplification.
But the number of people, but even if someone believes that, are they upset that the guy got a job?
Right. Right. Exactly. it's a tougher case to make for Kaepernick. Absolutely. If you feel it's going to be disruptive, somehow runs counter to what your organization is supposed to stand for, any of that, easier case to make with Manziel. I just don't know that either one gets a shot based on their football merit. And that's the main problem I have with Manziel. Can he help you? Is he going to be a starting quarterback for a legitimate contending NFL team?
I don't believe
in 3 years.
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe
that's that either.
Ever going to be the case. I don't believe in his talents, but clearly someone in the NFL once upon a time did.
Yeah, the problem is with that is that a lot of people didn't believe it when he got drafted. Coming out of college, there were people who didn't believe he was going to be a starting quarterback for a contending NFL team 2-3 years out. And that's without all the nonsense that he's sprinkled in since
then. Didn't Felger want the Patriots to draft him?
He wanted Tebow.
Wasn't he high on Manziel?
It's a good question.
I thought he was a Manziel guy, too.
He loved Manziel in college. I don't know what he felt about him when he was drafted.
I had no problem with Manziel until he tapped out of the national. Wasn't it the national championship game? What game was it where he got the shoulder stinger, went in the locker room, never came back out? Probably, it wasn't the national. It wouldn't have been the national championship. It was. What game was it? Come on, Jim. You remember everything.
He played a bowl game against Duke, but I think he came back in that game, right?
Wasn't that Colt McCoy?
Oh, sorry.
Yes, that was.
Yeah,
Texas.
Him too.
Yeah, you're thinking of Colt McCoy.
Him too.
I think he got his shoulder separated by the Alabama defender.
No, it was a stinger. He just got a stinger. Colt McCoy got a stinger. Shows you how much of a college football fan I am. Colt
really?
McCoy, Johnny
really?
Manziel.
All the same, they all played in the state of Texas.
That's right.
Colt McCoy still has a job, though.
I'll play in Texas. All the same guy.
Don't make no never mind to me. Beetle, people weighing in on Twitter.
About?
Nick Abreu. Absolutely bottom rack all the way. Eric Townsend, I'm with Hardy on the bottom rack first. No brainer. Nothing worse than hand-drying clean silverware. Also, Matt Poro says, learned a new word today while listening to Zolak and Bertrand. Collectionaires, referring to the bottom of coffee mugs that collect water in the dishwasher. I'm not sure I said that word, but if I did, you're welcome, Matt.
You said that collect in there.
Or collection areas.
Oh,
whatever.
Collection areas. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, great.
The fact that you unload the top rack of the dishwasher first, my opinion of you, just as a person walking the earth, went down 22%.
And given it
I
a lot
thought
of thought.
You had more sense than that.
I'll make sure to do it your way from now on.
Well, do you want to be happy in life or not?
Some
people are afraid of success.
I try.
Are you afraid to
Maybe.
Succeed
that might be
and
it.
Be happy?
That might be it.
Are you kind of picky about the way the dishwasher gets loaded?
Yes.
It's to the point now where a certain someone in my house.
Your wife.
We'll call her a female roommate whom I'm married to. Pretty much won't put things in the dishwasher anymore out of spite. It's a very passive-aggressive move, but it has been vocalized more than once.
I'm going
to
tell you.
It's just going to get rearranged anyway, so why do I bother? I got no problem with that.
I like to use the dishwasher as more of a sanitizer than really a wash. I don't like to put a plate in there that's got a lot of grime and food on it. I will wash it in the sink. And then put it into. I like it to be a rather clean plate going in.
Well, let me tell you something else about that, Beetle.
Because that all has to go somewhere. If you put like a plate in there that's got some food stuck on it,
yeah.
That where do you think that goes?
It just goes into the collection thing at the bottom of your dishwasher.
But in the meantime,
you pick
it's
it
like
out of there.
Spraying
when? After it goes around and around.
Yeah, it goes around and around in the dishwasher, and it gets those little food particles. Even though it's in a dishwasher, are going all over the other stuff that's in there, and that to me is gross.
It's not strychnine that's going around and around in there. It's a breadcrumb. And let me tell you,
I think it's more of a sanitation.
And Jim Beetle, please don't take this the wrong way, but you two dummies are doing it wrong. Because
I just wash the dishes by hand. I don't even bother with the dishwasher.
Okay, well, he can't even join the conversation
with his plug-in snowblower. Why am I surprised?
Unless we have like a party or something, a lot of people. No.
Oh, sure. Why would you ever use an appliance specifically for what it's there for?
It's four plates and a couple of cups.
Right.
Just wash it by hand.
Right. Wash by. Put your gloves on. Put your long yellow Rubbermaid gloves on. Get yourself a scrubber, June Cleaver. God. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm going to face you.
Or like the little ceramic like frogs that you'd put the little SOS fans in. Jim's got one of those. The big wide open mouth. Jim has that. Jim absolutely has that. Don't you, Jim? True or false?
No, just cloths.
Okay.
He's got a fresh pack of chore boys underneath the sink at all times. You're not supposed to wash your dishes clean before you put them in the dishwasher. It makes it harder for the soap to stick to the dirty parts and actually...
That is complete nonsense.
100%.
You just made that up. That is nonsense.
I guarantee we've got some kind of an appliance salesperson listening to the show right now. You knock the big chunks off, but in terms of like the grease and stuff that's on the plate, leave it on there. The dishwasher works better when the plates are a little bit dirty. That is 100% true.
Utterly ridiculous.
It's 100% true.
Zoe says he wants some wedding soup, by the way, Hardy.
Okay. Straight down to Rentham.
Today's takeaways
Ooh,
are next.
Ooh, people are showing, sending pictures now of their dishwasher loaded. That's a nice rack right there.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life and visit Awaken180WeightLoss.com. I'm going to get right to mine. Hardy today looked at me like I was an idiot. Not an uncommon thing to have happen around here, but looked at me like I was an idiot for not hanging up on the caller because Hardy didn't realize who it was.
Well, it's kind of your thing.
Yeah.
You tend to give people either too much rope or in the case of Carlton, he would argue, not enough rope. So just in terms of like, you know, basic show nuts and bolts, it's one of the things that, you know, you and I will disagree on from time to time. And I wonder why you were giving this guy so much rope.
Well, here's why. Play it. Scott and Rentham. Hi, Scott.
It's a really good show, actually.
What show?
What?
Are we doing a
say
show?
What?
I don't know. Being sick is going to save me money. Because I'm going to get rid of cable.
Uh-oh.
The Fire Stick is amazing. I can't believe that this Fire Stick has been in my kids' room for 2 years now, and I've never known how to work it. And it's the magic stick. It really is.
It's got a magic stick in your bedroom. At this point, I thought you were going to cut him off. You're going to hang up on the caller.
But I didn't because it was Zoe.
I missed the part where you said Scott and Rentham, and he's very sick. This doesn't sound like Zoe. So everything... Okay, so starting now, I don't know why he's still on. Go.
He's got a magic stick in your bedroom.
Find out what show he's been listening to up until this point.
Hey, and then I find out you can watch Goodfellas on it. I watched Goodfellas again last night.
All right. Thank you for calling.
That's impressive.
Richie's pissed.
Okay. Yeah, have you talked to him?
I think they had an inkling like when we were out at the Super Bowl doing all that coverage.
Hold on a second. I just realized this was Zoe. I've been 45 seconds in. I just realized it was. Even I thought it was just some lunatic.
Pause.
Sorry, Zoe. Go ahead.
Pause. Even the Goodfellas thing didn't tip you off, which is amazing. Nobody watches Goodfellas more than Zoe. And you're like, okay. You watch Goodfellas, good for you.
Well, I would say I thought it was just some crazy guy listening to the show, which it was, but I didn't know it was that specific crazy guy. So, sorry, Zoe.
Is there more?
Feel
Presume.
Better.
No, that's it.
I watched Goodfellas again last night.
All right.
All right. All right, then. That's what I have today.
Here's what I have. Tweet from Lou Pagliarini. Who says, I'm right about appliances. Dishwashers work better with slightly soiled dishes having some particulate. Been working with appliance retailers for over 20 years. I want to hear Mark Bertrand apologize to Hardy.
I will do no such thing, number one. And number two, define how do you say it? Slightly soiled?
Some particulate. Something for the soap to adhere to and stick to the plate as... How do you clean a really soiled pan or pot? You let the soap kind of like linger there for a while. Leave it in the sink, maybe. Let it soak a little
okay.
bit. You want the same thing
so
for your dishes.
If you were to soak, soap and water in a cleaner, pan? Is it not going to clean it because it was not as dirty?
That's correct.
The soap doesn't make any
sense.
The soap
will not adhere to the plate for any length of time because you did a half-assed job of cleaning it. The soap can't stick to it as well, and it's not going to get as clean. It's ironical, man, but your dishes will get cleaner. If
your dishes are cleaner going into it, then you don't need the soap to stick to it as much.
Your dishes will ultimately be cleaner.
All over your plates.
Your dishes will ultimately be cleaner if you don't clean them as much before they go into the dishwasher. Look, Lou Pagliarini
agrees with me. Hardy, with the top rack, bottom rack thing, but now you're just getting ridiculous, as is Lou. You guys are out of your mind.
That's a 20-year appliance, man. You can talk bad about me all you want. Not to a 20-year man like Lou. And one of the pictures I just tweeted out.
When he says he works with the retailers, what does he do for them? Kind of work.
Felger is mimicking somebody carrying in a dishwasher on their back.
We used to have a caller. You know, we used to have a caller named Louie on the Cape years ago. This goes back 7-8 years. Felger remembers Louie on the Cape. And Louie on the Cape used to tell us, I work with the public. Right? That was his big thing. I work with the public. I'm engaged with a lot of different people on a day-to-day basis. I hear a lot of different opinions on things. And I know what the public is thinking. Louie was a bartender. But he's so excited, I work with the public.
Well, you can do a lot worse.
What do you mean you work with the public? Well, I'm a bartender.
You can do a lot worse when you're trying to find the opinion of the common man than a bartender.
Whatever happened to that guy, Louie on the Cape? Big Yankee fan. Big-time Yankee fan. All right, well, Hardy, I'll tell you what. I'm going to start putting some dirty dishes in there, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Jared says if you put clean dishes in the dishwasher, the soap can actually etch your dishes because it can't cling to the food.
There we go.
So you're going to ruin...
Now we're ruining our dishes.
Now you're
going to
ruin your dishes, too. Your beautiful wedding china. It's up to you.
Etching dishes now.
Well, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. You're doing it the wrong way. I got the answers. Don't you worry about it.
Okay.
Thanks, McCone.
Yeah,
nice job
great
today.
Job, McCone.
McCone was on fire.
Great job.
Good stuff.
Felger and Mats are coming up next.